Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8. I've titled the message this morning, A Not So Silent Night. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I have the New American Standard Version, and different people have different ones. But the interesting thing is I can't read that and not end up going into the King James anyway. Because it just comes out, you know. That's right. In Chiriqui. That's where we're planting the church in Panama, in the city of David, in Chiriqui province in Panama. So, amen. Not so silent night. Not so silent night. I think that we have to come to the agreement that their Christmas carols are not inspired. They're not actually the Word of God. I love Christmas carols, and I sing them all, and I love them all. However, they lie. They just lie. There's one called Away in a Manger. And one of the verses says, The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. And any parent knows that's just baloney. I mean, he cried. There's no question he cried. And the cattle are lowing. It's not like this, the cattle are lowing. It's, I mean, it's noise. Phil knows. He's had them in his front yard most years. They make some noise. They make other things than noise. And that baby is crying, and it is not just this wonderful, wonderful picture. It is a not so silent night. You think about it. Here's Joseph and Mary. They've come to Bethlehem. They've come to the city of David. And we've got this picture that is, there's halos over their head, you know, but they've been traveling. It's not been fun. They've gotten to the city. They've basically knocked on doors. I mean, they've knocked on doors, right? They keep going. They may have knocked on two or three doors. They may have knocked on family members. They may have knocked on one. Finally, they knock on a door, and the innkeeper says, there's just no room here. And Joseph's like, no kidding, I've checked everywhere. Yours is the worst place on the block, but I checked with you last. And you don't even have a room. And he says, no, but I've got a place where the cattle are lowing. You can stay with the sheep and the pigs out in the stable. And they take that room. It's not this beautiful picture. They live in a world where they're living in occupied territory. And it's a hostile empire that has taken them over and rule over them. And the reason they have gathered is because that empire wants to know who everybody is. Now, you know, it's not always comfortable to think Big Brother wants to know who I am and what my business is. Well, that's exactly what was happening. Rome was saying, we want to number everybody. We want to make sure we get the taxes from everybody, and we want to know where everybody is. They've got to go to the place of their ancestral birth home, and we want to know who's there and who. It's not fun. It's chaotic. It's hectic. I can imagine that there are times when it's just flat angry, that there's anxious feelings in that whole process. And you get a sense that maybe, maybe their world was just like yours. And maybe at this Christmas time, just like at that Christmas so many years ago, and whether the dates are right or wrong, I don't care. There's a day that Jesus was born and we celebrate it at Christmas. So at that birth, and the annual celebration that we have of the birth of Christ, and whether at that first birth or our celebration of His birth, we find ourselves in this chaotic, hectic, sometimes it feels like every word that's being said in the world around us is angry, and maybe some of those angry words are coming out of our mouth. And we find out that this world doesn't feel like what the angel said it's supposed to be. The multitude of the heavenly host said, "They glory to God." No, that was the... And suddenly there was with the angel, the multitude of the heavenly host saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace." And in that moment, it wasn't peaceful. And in our lives, so often, we think to ourselves, this is not what I would define as peace. There's a thought that we have that's somehow floating in there that we almost associate that angel's proclamation with the Old Testament kind of feeling of shalom, that sense of this is peace that brings not only a sense of well-being to who we are, but also a sense of prosperity in our life, that there is this peace that just kind of lays on us, and we kind of are just there going, "Ah, this is nice. Wow, I feel mellow, dude. That was funny. Come on, some of you are old enough to think that was funny." And we have this sense that that's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be just peace. And we have that quiet image that everything is good with everybody. But that's not how it was then. That's not how we experienced in our life. And the truth is, Luke didn't write the word shalom. Luke wrote his gospel in Greek. And he wrote the word irene, which means, comes from the word to join. It means being together. Irene is spelled just like Irene is in our language, right? But you think about it for a moment, because this peace is different than that feeling of peace. And we almost always associate Christianity with that feeling of peace. But if you look through the Gospels, you'll find that this peace is actually not peace which is the absence of chaos, not peace which is the absence of anger, not peace which is the absence of questions. This is peace in the middle of all of that. It is the peace that says something changed in the entire world in that moment, and that is that God Himself came to earth and became a man. The angel said He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. The God with us is the important part of peace. That we may still experience regularly the chaos of our world, regularly the anger, regularly the struggle. But God has chosen that His peace means there's nothing between God and man. You see, we lived in a world, we didn't. Our ancestors lived in a world where there was all kinds of things between God and man. That they lived all year long with this whole list of things that was between God and man until the Day of Atonement, when a sacrifice was offered and Israel, through the high priest, was declared righteous. But Christ gave Himself for us as our atonement, the Passover lamb, and He is the one now that declares us righteous. And he was in that moment Emmanuel, God with us. And as he was born for us, he lived for us, he died for us, and he lives eternally for us, always for us. And he said that as we would receive him, that he would actually dwell with us, and there would be no separation, there would be nothing between God and us. And he becomes our peace. So we walk in a world that sometimes illness happens. And we say, Lord God, heal us. And we know on the authority of Scripture and by the stripes he took on his back that we are healed. But sometimes there's space between the time that we pray and the time that we experience that healing. And in that space, we experience all kinds of feelings. Feelings that say God doesn't care about me. Feelings that say God doesn't hear me. Feelings that say I'm full of anxiety. All kinds of feelings. And in our chaos, God would say, no, I am Emmanuel, God with you. And there is nothing between us. And when you breathe a prayer, I hear it. And when you cry in the night, I hear it. And when all of those things go, I hear it. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world does, because my peace will never go away. And you think to yourself, but I've lived differently than that. I've been at places where I thought I have no peace in this whole process. But Jesus says, I am here. I am here. And I am your peace. We're going to be talking about marriage tonight. And one of the things that happens in the Scripture is it is used as the example of Christ's relationship with his church. And so here is this sense of we are the bride of Christ. And we, just like husband and wife, are one. No secrets, no different, no hidden agendas, no, nothing withheld. We are one. That is the relationship Christ wants with his church, that we have nothing between us and him. It's interesting because Christ, God, is never changing, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is always here. But problem is me and my humanity, that I waver. In hot and cold, every once in a while I'm just lukewarm. And that's never a comfortable place, right? So you've got this part of you and I talking about me right now that I have this wavering in me. And the reality is that God is still the same. And he has already made the motion on that day when the angels declared peace on earth, goodwill toward men. On that day, he made the move. He made the step. He made the motion that he would come to be near to us. And so we then have to make a choice. We have to make a choice because peace is never actually in a vacuum. You know, I've come to find out through some extensive research and, you know, just exploration of the idea that peace actually is almost always related to other people. And the reality is that my research has shown that even when you're alone on a desert island for 11 years or so, that you still don't have peace. Tom Hanks showed me that. Now, he had a volleyball, so I guess you could say that he and Wilson, they were working to have peace together. But the truth is that peace is always, it's never in a void. And so it's always this process of saying, where will we be to create peace? With God, in the middle of our circumstance, we have to understand that he will never leave. He will never abandon us. He never sleeps or slumbers. He's always with us. He's always for us. So we know that that is actually a statement that the Scripture is over and over and over makes clear to us. So the only thing is somehow in our struggling with the situation, perhaps we've moved. And the Bible tells us when you find yourself in those situations and you're fighting a battle in your own spirit and you're fighting a battle in your own life, there are two things that we need to do. One is resist the devil. That we stop listening to what he says and we start thinking about what God says. That we stop hearing or allowing the devil to have place in our lives, in our thoughts, in our actions. But instead, we resist. Secondly, we draw near to God. The Bible says that as we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. I find it interesting that throughout the Old Testament, you will see times and celebrations that happen annually, some that happen more frequently than that, some that happen less frequently than that. But there are a number of celebrations that take place on an annual basis. Christmas is one of those things for us in the New Testament church, that we celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, Christmas and all that it's meant to be actually so often adds chaos to our life. If you shopped Black Friday this week, you know what I'm talking about. I will tell you that I did not. I'm just going on hearsay as to what that is like out there. But it sounds like a madhouse, right? I have relatives that literally get up at midnight to go shopping on Black Friday. Yes, but they get up at midnight to do it. Yes. I'm just telling you, Christmas in the way that we have it today has a possibility of actually adding more chaos and stealing our peace. But the truth is, for us to recognize the birth of Christ and to annually celebrate it tells us, just like those annual celebrations in the Old Testament, that God is willing to do it again. Whether it was the Passover, whether it was the Feast of Tabernacles and that whole journey through the wilderness, whether it was the Day of Atonement, whether it's so many things that we have to understand that that was celebrated over and over again to remind the Israelites that God was willing to do it again and he would do it again. And we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Christ to remind ourselves that in the same way God came to earth so that we could be changed and transformed, he's willing to do it again and again and again. And if we would draw near to him, he is always willing to draw near to us. And though our circumstances may not change in a moment, though our circumstances may still be, we think we have reason to not be at peace. Though all those things are true, what we can understand is that if God is for me and there is no distance between us, and who can be against us? There is nothing that can take us from the love of God. Nothing. And so we have this kind of opportunity in our life to, in those moments, sometimes which stretch into weeks, sometimes which stretch into months, sometimes which stretch into years, in those times that we think, will it ever be right again? Will I ever pass through this anxiety? Will I ever come out of this chaos? Will I ever experience something different? We only have one recourse, and that is to make a choice, to say that for me, I choose to move toward God. I choose to draw near God. I choose that there would be nothing between us. I've chosen him as my Savior, and he has said that upon that confession of faith, upon that choice, he actually is resident in me. He lives in me. So he's made the step. My choice must be to draw near to him. And in that place, he becomes our peace. So we say, he says, my peace will never leave you. He's saying, I will never leave you. My peace will never leave you. He's saying, my power is there. There's nothing between you and my power. He's saying, I will never leave you. He's saying that I love you with an everlasting love, and nothing will change that. He's saying, my peace will never leave you. He's saying, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And where I've gone, there I will come and receive you unto myself, and you will be with me for all of eternity. You see, peace doesn't necessarily change our immediate circumstance, but peace changes how we walk in the midst of it. How we walk in the midst of the chaos. How we walk in the storm. Jesus was in the prow of the boat. He was sleeping. And the winds and waves were blowing so much that the disciples were certain that the boat was going to be destroyed and that all of their lives would be lost. And so they went and they woke Jesus. And he said, why are you so afraid? Well, because the winds and waves are about to destroy the boat and all of our lives are going to be lost. And his attitude was like, but I'm right here with you. But I'm right here with you. And he was there was this sense of saying, how come when I'm right here with you that you're still feeling all this anxiety? Now he got up and he said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves, they all quieted. But the reality is that we have to understand is the winds and the waves may be blowing in the middle of our boat, may be blowing all around us, and may be threatening to drag us under. We may feel like we're on the verge of destruction. But Jesus would say, I'm right here with you. There's nothing between us. The angel said, he is Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know what part of your life needs to hear that today. But please know that whatever you're going through, God is with you. God is with you. I'm going to ask those who are going to help with the communion to come forward and the musicians to come. As we hand out the communion elements this morning and you hold them in your hands, I'd like you to take and in a real conscious effort on your part. As you hold them in your hands and you think about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, in his broken body and his shed blood, that you, in a very thought out, thoughtful process, think to yourself, Lord, you know my world, but this morning, you are my peace. And just confess it to him. Confess to the Lord this morning that he is your peace. He's with you. Just like we always do as we hand out the elements, if you'd hold them till everybody's served, we'll partake together.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole, empty handed. You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see.
Symbols of his sacrifice. The bread representing his broken body and the cup representing his shed blood. And this morning, I think Jesus would echo that he desires so greatly to be our peace. In the midst of the swirling thoughts, the waves which threaten to overwhelm us, that his going to the cross says, I want to be your peace. Lord Jesus, even as you left everything, emptied yourself of all that it means to be God, that on that not so silent night you were born in a stable, wrapped and placed in a manger, that the chaos around you and your family, still the angel's proclamation that God was with us and that there was peace toward all men. And Lord, we think forward to the day of your death, all of the uproar around that, and the clamor, the pain, the sky going dark, the earth shaking, the veil in the temple being torn from top to bottom. Lord, so many things that are so unpeaceful, and yet in that sacrifice you made a way for us. Lord God, this morning I ask that your peace would simply fall upon each one of us, that there would be a calm assurance that though the world around us seems so unsafe, that anger is spewed from every mouth and every corner, that chaos threatens to overwhelm, that you are with us, and that you are our peace. Lord, this morning we ask that you would add your blessing. We remember you. We pray that that memory would be more than just nostalgia, but it would be memory of who you are, what you have done, and what you continue to do in our lives. We look forward to the day that you will return. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Give you thanks for your sacrifice, Lord. And let's drink the cup. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you join me in standing, please, and pass your cups to an aisle? They'll be collected. Let's sing this song. I can see you now. I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Oh, I can see you now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would lay yourself down to raise us up. And God, this morning we offer ourselves to you. We pray that in the midst of the chaos, we would feel, experience, know that there is no separation between us. That you are our peace. That you're right here with us. And God, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. These altars are open if you'd like to spend some time here. Tonight at 6 p.m. will be the discipleship class. Now may the Lord who gave us his son Jesus, may he be with us, and may we experience his presence, his peace. May God be with you in Jesus' name.